Hello, friends, and welcome to another edition of the Antique Phonograph Music Program. That's right, it's the Christmas edition of the Antique Phonograph Music Program. Ho, ho, ho! Bringing you tidings of comfort and joy. Comfort and joy. Yeah, well, we started off there with a record on the Victor label from 1922. By the Great White Way Orchestra, entitled When Winter Comes. Here on the East Coast, we should probably rename that If Winter Comes, because we're expecting balmy temperatures on Christmas this year. Downright balmy in the 70s, or upper 60s at least. So it's kind of hard to get into the Christmas spirit, but that's what people in California and the South have to do all the time, so, you know, we'll deal with it. We'll take it. So, it's going to be a variety of Christmas music tonight. And let's get right into it. Would you expect anything less than old-timey Christmas music here? So, from 1920, on the Columbia label, here is the Columbia Stellar Quartet with Ye Olden Yuletide Hymns, Part 1.
Oh,
Oh, yes. Yes, yes. You know, we love ye olden tunes here on the Antique Phonograph Music Program. So, you're going to be getting a lot of that with some twists on ye olden stuff. But let's hear now from the Trinity Choir, located in downtown Manhattan, with a 12-inch shellac disc now from them, which is another medley of Christmas hymns and carols. And this is from 1921.
Thank you.
Amen Cadence. All right. Nice way to end it. Yeah, you know, what's interesting about this record is a lot of Christmas songs I've never heard in there. So maybe they would be known if you were a regular churchgoer like I'm not. But yes. All right. Let's move on to a couple, few maybe spoken word records. We're going to start off now with a recitation. Character impersonation with effects is what it's called. And it's Scrooge, part one. Marley's Ghost. I'm not going to play part two, which is the other side of this record. And what's interesting is I looked on the database of dating these records, and I didn't see a part three or four. I wonder if they produced those. Not really sure. But, well, here we go with this.
Made of padlock, these Badgers. Heavy Percy's Rotten Steel. What is that, eh? You made it? You made it? No, you didn't. No, you didn't, Jacob. Not here. You never worked on anything but books. And you didn't take it with you. No, sir. There wasn't a thing missing when you went. I looked. But where have you been for the past 7 years, Jacob? Wandering. Just wandering around. Oh, but my, Jacob, why, it's a long time going around once in 7 years, ain't it? What you wandering about? The spirit of man must go forth among his fellow men, and if it goes not forth in life, it is compelled to do so after death. Oh, Jacob, don't tell me that. Don't tell me that I have a greater journey than you. Jacob, don't. Oh, I see. You're going to tell me how I may escape your fate. That's very kind of you, Jacob. Very kind of you. But it won't cost anything, Jacob. It won't cost anything, eh? I am to have three spirits visit me at different times? No, Jacob. Jacob, have them all come at once. Goodbye, Jacob.
Oh, you know I love any record that ends with snoring. Or begins with snoring. Or is all snoring. All right. Good character there. On that record by Mr. William Sterling Battis. Maybe next year we'll hear the other side. But maybe next year I'll find parts 3 and 4. Would love that. Well, now it's time for the most depressing Christmas record I have. Yes, Christmas is a time of joy, but what of those who have no joy? What of those who are spending Christmas in the workhouse, who are so poor that they must labor daily and toil for mere bit of bread, some tepid soup, and a flea-infested bed? Well, let's hear about that now via the George R. Sims poem about conditions in the workhouse in the 19th century. Really, yeah.
It's Christmas Day in the workhouse. The cold bare walls are bright with garlands of green and holly. The place is really a pleasant one. For with clean washed hands and faces in a long and hungry line, the paupers sit at the table, for this is the hour they dine. And the guardians and the babies, although the wind is east, have come in their furs and wrappers to watch their charges feast. Oh, the paupers are meek and lowly with their thank ye kindly mums. So long as they fill their bellies, what matter it whence it comes? But one of the old men mutters, then pushes his plate aside. Great God, he cries. But it chokes me, for this is the day she died. The guardians gazed in horror, and the master's face went white. Did a pauper refuse their pudding? Could their ears have heard aright? But the pauper sat for a moment, then rose with a silence grim. For the others had ceased their chatter and trembled in every limb. And he looked at the guardian's ladies, then eyeing their lord, he said, I'll eat not the food of villains whose hands are foul and red, whose victims cry for vengeance from the dank, unhallowed graves. Oh, he's drunk, said the workhouse master, or else he's mad and raves. Not drunk nor mad, cried the pauper, but only a hunted beast, who, torn by the hounds and mangled, declined your vulture's feast. I don't care a curse for the guardians, and I won't be dragged away. Just let me have the fit out. It's only on Christmas Day that the black past comes to goad me and prey on me burning brain. I'll tell you the rest in a whisper. I swear I won't shout again. Keep your hands off of me. Curse you. Hear me right out to the end. You've come to see how paupers the season of Christmas spend. You've come to watch us feeding as you watch a captured beast. Hear why a penniless pauper spits on your paltry feast. Last winter, My wife lay dying, starved in a filthy den. I'd never been to your parish. I came to your parish then. I swallowed my pride in coming, for ere the ruin came, I held up my head as a traitor, and I bore a spotless name. I came to your parish craving bread for a starving wife, bread for a woman who'd loved me through 50 years of life. And what do you think they told me, mocking my awful grief, that the house was open to us, but they wouldn't give out relief. I slunk through the filthy alley. It was a cold, raw Christmas Eve. The baker's shops were open, tempting a man to feed. But I clenched my fists together, and holding my head awry, I came to her empty-handed and mournfully told her why. Then I told her the house was open. She'd heard of the likes of that, for her bloodless cheeks went crimson, and up in her rags she sat crying, "Bide the Christmas here, John. We've never had one apart. I think I can stand the hunger. The other would break my heart." All through that eve I watched her, holding her hand in mine, praying to God and weeping, till my lips were soft with pride. I asked her once if she hungered, and as she answered, "No," the moon shone in at the window, set in a wreath of snow. And she rose to her feet and trembled, and fell in the rags and moaned, "Give me a crust, John. I'm famished. For the love of God," she groaned. I rushed from the room like a madman. I flew to the workhouse gate, crying, "Food! Food for a dying woman!" And the answer came, "Too late! Too late!" And they drove me away with curses, and I fought with a dog in the street, and I tore from the mongrel such as a crust he was trying to eat, back through the filthy by-lanes, back through the dirty slush, up to that crazy garret, wrapped in an awful hush. My heart stood still on the threshold. I paused with a sudden thrill, for there in the silvery moonlight, my Nan lay cold and still. Up to the blackened ceiling, her sunken eyes were cast, and I knew on those lips all bloodless my name had been the last. She had called for her absent husband. Great God, had I but known. She had called in vain, and in anguish, she had died in that den alone. Yes, there in a land of plenty, lay a loving woman dead, cruelly starved and murdered for one loaf of your parish bread. I came to your gates last Christmas. I crave for a human life. You who would feed us paupers, what of that murdered wife? There, there, get you gone to your dinner. Don't you mind me in the least. Think of the happy paupers eating your Christmas feast. And when you recount their blessings in your smug, parochial way, just tell what you did for me, too. Only last Christmas Day.
Mm-hmm. He's bitter. Dude is bitter about Christmas. Well, can only imagine how hard it would be to live that kind of life in 19th century workhouse conditions. And having your... I don't want to talk about it anymore. Let's move on. Okay, we hit the low point. Let's have Uncle Josh liven it up a little bit now, okay? Let's do this. Now, this is actually a Harmony record, and these discs had a slightly larger hole to them to fit on the certain machines. So I got to do my best to try to center this so it will play properly. It's looking pretty good. And this is Uncle Josh Plays Santa Claus on the Harmony disc label, not to be confused with the Harmony label of the 20s, from about 1907.
Well, see, last Christmas down home at Pumpkin Center, they was having a lot of doings down to the First Baptist Church, Christmas tree, and one thing and another, and nothing would do him, but I must play Santa Claus. Well, every Hawkins and Deacon Weatherspoon talked me into it, and like a darn fool, I told him I would do it. Well, they took me back from the tail end of every Hawkins grocery store and put a fur suit on me, and the darn thing tickled my nose and made me sneeze. Wasn't if I'd had epizootic or hay fever. Then they put a basket on my back and put more toys in it, and it takes a stock any store in the land. Well, Rube Hendricks said I could have his yoke oxen at a two for reindeers. That Deacon Witherspoon said I could have his sleigh bells. That Ezra Austin said I could have his sleigh. Well, they got out the sleigh and the oxen hitched him up to it. That put them darn bells on them, and them oxen got scared at the bells, and they loaded me up in the sleigh and started me off, and the darn critters run away. Well, I hollered gee at them and haw at them and woe at them, but the darn critters wouldn't gee, woe, haw, was a cent. Well, they run into the snowdrift and upset the sleigh and broke it up, and they just got me all covered up with snow and ice. Well, I got out of that, and the rest of them said they could take me down to the church. Well, they walked along ringing the sleigh bells to make folks think that Santa Claus was a-comin'. Well, they got me down to church and put up a ladder to the chimney and told me climb up it and come down the chimney, and then they went into the church and left me there. Well, I just got started up, and Ezra Hawkins' dog took a right smart of the important portion of Santa Claus's pants. Well, I got up there and got started down that chimney, and I got stuck in it, and by gosh, they had to call out the fire department to get me out. When they got me out, the folks said in the church they didn't know before that Santa Claus was a colored man. Well, sir, I broke the Ten Commandments they had framed to hang up on the church. That I broke a workbox belonging to old Aunt Nancy Smith and a bottle of whiskey that somebody had sent to Jim Lawson, and the darn stuff run all over my clothes. And congregation said I'd either been drinking a right smart or was pretty drunk the way whiskey smells. Well, they put me out of the church, and now they're talking about having me up in court for impersonating somebody I know there wasn't.
Santa Claus got stuck in the chimney. Well, what would you expect with Uncle Josh? You know things aren't going to go smooth. I mean, whether it be Santa Claus or him being a technophobe with his automobile, his telephone, or his Victrola, things never go easy for the dude. That's the way it goes. Well, this is always a creepy record. I sort of wonder what it would be have been like to be a child in 1927. And the parents say, hey, kids, come on. It's Christmas Eve, and we're going to sit you down. And, you know, we've talked to you about Santa Claus. Well, now we want you to know Santa Claus hides in the phonograph. Now, would that freak the kid out? And they say, okay, well, everybody sit down in front of the phonograph. We're going to put this record on, and we're going to prove it to you. Okay? Everybody relax.
Hello. Hello. Hello, little folks. Do you know who I am? Just guess. Why, you've heard of me every Christmas. Who did you say? Hush. Close all the doors, and I'll tell you a secret. I'm old Santa Claus. Perhaps you are surprised to find me hiding in this phonograph. For I'm right here inside. Well, I'll tell you all about it if you'll give me your word that you won't mention it to a soul. You've often seen pictures of Santa Claus, haven't you? With his great big white whiskers halfway down to the ground, and his ruddy red cheeks, and his jolly old smile. Well, I don't look like that just now, and I'll tell you why. All night long, I've been climbing in and out of chimneys, leaving toys and candy and, oh, such wonderful presents for all the little folks. My whiskers are full of soot, and my beautiful red robe with its trimming of white is as black can be. I didn't want you to see me looking like that, so when I heard you coming, I hid in this phonograph. But I must be off now. for I still have a few presents for some little friends of mine. Let me see. Here is a toy steamboat. And a toy calliope. And a little music box. And a toy trumpet. And a harmonica. And now I wish you all a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. But before I leave, I'm going to sing for you my favorite song. Did you ever hear Santa Claus sing? Well, you're going to hear him now. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in Santa's Christmas sleigh. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in Santa's Christmas sleigh. Goodbye, everybody. Goodbye, children. Get up here. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in Santa's Christmas sleigh. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way.
Oh, it's even got a nice fade out too, that record. So I wonder if late at night the kids wake up and just examine the phonograph more closely. Get up in there and looking around for some miniature Santa Claus. Does anyone ever remember that show Land of the Giants? I remember it when I was a kid. I have to look that up, see if I could find some clips from it on YouTube. Basically about these small people, somehow, through some government experiment or something, they became very small. It was Land of the Giants. It was a 30-minute series every week. And, so a little tiny Santa in the phonograph. That'd be cool. And I have a page on Facebook called Antique Phonograph Enthusiasts. And this time of year, invariably, someone puts a little Santa Claus inside their Victrola, takes a picture and says, "Look! Santa Claus hides in the phonograph. Ha, ha, ha." It's an inside joke. Only those people like you and me would get. Ha. All right. Well, let's continue now with a couple ethnic Christmas records. We're going to hear a Slavic tune. Dare me to try to pronounce this? Okay. Vestavijit Pastieri, Arise Ye Shepherds, it's in English. It's a Slavic Christmas carol by Elnik Boda. It's a 1912 Victor record. So let's hear it.
Oh, my God.
Oh, very nice. Very nice. Okay. Well, that's how they do it, I guess, in Slovenia. Okay. Let's do another ethnic one, which I really love. It's a German Kinderchoir. Kinderchor, as it says on there. And while I really cannot speak German, I love faking speaking German. So this is Christkind kommt, Kinderchor, mit Deklamation, Harmonium Begleitung und Kirchenglocken. It's a Christmas specialty in German, and it's absolutely charming. On the Victor label from 1910. Right. Love that record. Very sweet. Sweet little Kinderchor singing their song. You know, it kind of reminds me of that story. I mean, I even saw a video about it recently. Something about the World War I, men in the trenches, Christmas night, and all of them literally coming out of the trenches to sing and celebrate Christmas during a temporary truce. And from what I've read, it seems to be true, but it just seems unbelievable that they would come out and they play together and sing together. I don't know how much of this is fabricated and how much of it is true, but I don't know. It just seems that they would want to start shooting at each other. It would seem like the perfect opportunity to do that instead of have a peaceful moment. I don't know. I get more and more cynical as I get older, folks. But interesting idea that they would take a moment and do that. But, you know, Christmas is for the kids. And hopefully, as you get older, you can have a moment of feeling that joy of Christmas with the kids or with your family or with somebody. Because a lot of people don't get it. But it's something I wish for you for a moment of Christmas transcendence to everybody listening. Like I said, it's about the kids. And what's better than the kids opening presents on Christmas morning? So let's hear that. A musical interpretation of that on this Columbia record from 1919. It's the Kiddies' Christmas Frolic in the Morning from 1919. Oh, that's fun. It's sort of like the toys are all coming to life on that record. I love that idea. That's what it feels like. Not a lot of there's other records where you get the oohs and the ahs of the children, but that's a sweet one. Okay, I want to squeeze in a few more records. Let's go right to Albert Campbell and Henry Burr, a duet on a Victor record from 1913 entitled I'd Rather Be Kissed Neath the Mistletoe Bough Then spoon under any old tree. Ain't it the truth?
fire bright. When he sends down the sled, no more fooling beneath the apple tree. Many sighs then reply, the mistletoe is good enough for me. And soon under any old tree, there's a time and place for everything, but winter time at present suits me. Forget all about the good old summer time, and let's have a kissing bee. I'd rather be kissed neath a mistletoe bough than soon under any old tree. Heart is filled with love's delight. Man decides, rolls her eyes, whispers honey soft and wait a while. He just grins, then begins to kiss her all the harder with a smile. I'd rather be kissed the mistletoe bough and soon under any old tree. There's a time and place for everything, but winter time at present suits me. Forget all about the good old summer time and let's have a kissing bee. I'd rather be kissed neath the mistletoe bough than soon under any old tree.
It's kind of an obvious choice. I'd rather be kissed neath the mistletoe bough than, well, I don't know. Maybe I'd rather spoon under a tree than be kissed neath the mistletoe bough. I'm not really sure now of which I would choose. Anyway, let's go on to one of our last records. This is Oh You Silvery Bells by the Peerless Quartet. It's a 1912 Victor record.
Tales of love, those bells are ringing through the hills and dales.
All right, all right. Folks, that's going to about do it for this edition, the Christmas edition of the Antique Phonograph Music Program. I'm wishing you all happy holidays, whatever it is you celebrate. I myself will be celebrating Christmas with my family and my son and having a little time off, which is a gift in itself. I hope you have at least that and a little time to just be. And wishing you good things for Christmas Day, even a bit of peace just for that day. And I'll be back next week to wish you a Happy New Year with a few Happy New Year songs and other stuff. And I'm going to leave you with one more, which I discovered in my record collection, which I never played before. It's called the Santa Claus Polka, and it's a 1926 Columbia record, an early electric. So, folks, until next week, this is your host, Mac, of the Antique Phonograph Music Program, saying nighty-night, everybody. Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good nighty-night.
This is WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, and 91.9 FM in Rockland County, and at WFMU.org.